You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Baby boy, you only funky as your last cut. Focus on the past, your ass will be a has-what.
I would like to formally apologize for last week when I said I would murder Greg's dad.
Back in the studio, Anthony looking fresh, like his beard's all trimmed up, his hair's short, he's looking younger, he's looking healthier.
Definitely healthier.
I feel like you look like a man who stopped drinking, maybe.
Yeah, I did. I haven't had a drink in over a week. I've been just healthy. I swear to God, I've lost like 10 pounds.
I was going to say, it's so almost like now I think of you last week and you were like Fat Elvis or something like that.
It was rough. I just had a lot of stuff in me that I had to get out over the course of a week, and I'm glad that I'm back. But I think I'm not going to drink again until the TV show is done with production. We start shooting in a little over a week and a half, and then we have like a couple of weeks. But it's just, I feel so much better. Like I was telling them before, like I can stop drinking for a long time. But I just have to poison myself first. You know what I mean? I have to want to stop drinking, and then I can go for months if I need to. Mm. And that's every day I wake up, I feel better than the day before, and it's just awesome. Mm. I don't think it'll stick for a long time, but for now it's
That's like a really healthy, productive pattern for a lot of alcoholics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's all I need.
Just like hit bottom and then take a little time off and then slowly get back into it.
Yeah, that's my plan. That's my calendar. It's great.
I did not take off drinking for the weekend. I was at a wedding with our producer, Erica Tamposi, was also in the mix in Georgia.
I saw pictures.
For Chris Wesseling's wedding. It was delightful.
Yeah? What did you guys do?
I mean, you know, it was a wedding.
Was you just get there and just do the wedding, or was it like a dinner, like a thing before, like the night before?
I was in the wedding, so yeah, there was like a rehearsal dinner, and it was on Tybee Island, Georgia, which is just a very unique place. It's just kind of... It's like if, you know, we spent the summer waiting tables and et cetera in Martha's Vineyard. It's like that if it was like that mixed with New Orleans and the South.
Sounds fun. Hi, Erica, did you enjoy yourself?
I had such a blast. I feel really refreshed and awesome. I really do. Like this weekend was so awesome.
Did you take a date?
Yeah, made a vacation out of it. You know, rented jet skis. We had a big house, pool, you know, like drinking, all the fun stuff. It was amazing.
Did you get to take any pictures or video while you were there?
No, why?
I thought it sounds like a nice place. You're on an island. Why not take a video?
Yeah, I have a bunch.
Cool.
See, on the way there, though, I had a great moment. And if the listener is out there that recognizes this story, hit me up. We was in line at Dunkin' Donuts at 5 in the morning on the way out. We had a 6 a.m. flight because we got our tickets kind of late, and that was all there was. And this father and his son were next to us in line, and I could have sworn, and it was moving pretty fast, and then they were suddenly not next to us. I'm pretty sure that the father said to his son, "That's one of the junior vice presidents."
At 5 a.m. in a Dunkin' Donuts? Really?
Savannah?
No, at LAX. And the boy kind of like looked up at me, and I was just like so surprised to hear that out of the corner of my mouth. I just like looked at them and like shook my head for a second, and then we kept, you know, moving, and that was that. So
damn.
That's a great airport run-in. If all my fans were like that, I would I would like it. I would like it more. I had a enjoyable week. First of all, I'm not even going to save it for recommendation station. I'm going to say it right now. John Wick 3 is the jam. Went Thursday night as soon as I could and saw it. I love the John Wick movies, are my favorite movies right now, and 3 was not a letdown at all. I went crazy for it. And to blow your guys' mind, to blow your minds right now, you know who I had lunch with last week on Friday?
Oh, no.
Giants owner Steve Tisch.
Really?
What?
Why? Yeah.
Steve Tisch saw my special, Fire in the Maternity Ward, on Netflix, loved it, called my manager, got in touch with my manager, and was like, "I'd like to meet Anthony. I just want to have lunch with him." And she was like, "Do you want to do that?" And I was like, "Oh, hell yeah. I definitely want to do that." Not really knowing who Steve Tisch was, did a little research before. I heard the name but didn't know his deal. And then went to a John and Vinny's and had lunch with him on Friday. Sat there for like an hour and just like bullshit. He was like one of the coolest guys I've ever met. Hmm. 70 years old. Super chill. Like as chill as like if you had lunch with like Superman. You know what I mean? He just didn't have a care in the world. Like talked about the Giants a little bit. We talked about like ODB, the quarterback and everything. But he's like
OBJ.
Not hands-on. OBJ.
That old dirty bastard.
Yeah. We did talk about ODB a lot too. Old Dirty Bastard. He's a big Wu-Tang guy. And then,
what'd he say?
Yeah, are you a Giants fan now?
He was just like, no, I mean, I told him, I was like, he was like, sorry, you know, I'm a Giants owner. I know you're a Steelers fan. I hope that's not like weird, you know, like as a joke. And I was like, no, you guys beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. You're practically a Rooney as far as I'm concerned. He told a cool story. He said when he won that first Super Bowl trophy, he was holding it and a reporter asked him, what would you give up, your Super Bowl trophy or your Oscar? He won an Oscar for producing Forrest Gump. And he thought about it and he was like, I'd give up the Oscar. I love that Oscar, but like this is like, this meant so much to like beat the undefeated Patriots for this crazy season. Like it was an amazing experience. And I was like, yeah, Steve, that's awesome. And then we'd like, the best is the check comes at the end. We've just been like talking and messing around.
I hope you picked it up.
Of course. Like the check comes and they put it down and it's like $60. But Steve Ditchler puts like looks me right dead in the eye and puts his finger on it like, this is mine. And I was like, of course it is. You are a billionaire.
Yeah.
And you invited me to lunch. I'll let you get this check. And then he gives me his card at the end. He's like, you know, stay in touch. Email me so I have your contact info. And I was like, sure. And I go, would you do me a favor? And the look on his face was like pure panic of like, think about when you're a billionaire and someone asks you if they can do you a favor. Like, yeah. It's never going to, like, he was just like, what is coming now? We just had this fun lunch and now
at
he's going to like,
at best, it's like tickets and even that's annoying.
I think if the Steelers played the Giants this year, he would have been like, let me hook you up. Like, I can do that. But they weren't. I just said, would you email my dad? And just like, and say like, I had lunch with your son. He's like, you raised a wonderful, like a young man. My dad would go crazy for that. He would love that. And he was like delighted. He's got like young kids too. And here's the email he wrote my dad. He wrote it today. Good evening, Tony. My name is Steve Tisch. I am a movie producer and the co-owner of the New York Giants. I have met a lot of wonderful people all around the world. Last Friday, I will add a name to my list of favorite people. Your son, Anthony. We had a really fun lunch in Los Angeles. He's talented, nice, and very, very funny. We had such a good time. I will get over that he is a huge Steelers fan. I hope you have a great week. Let me know if you ever want to go to a Giants home game. Best personal regards, Steve.
Oh, my God.
How cool is that? My dad was psyched. He was like, is this true? And I was like, yeah, it's legit. Write him back.
It's like at ericatamposi@gmail.com.
Is it?
I mean, it's not a tough email address to figure out. I'm not going to give it away, but you could be like, oh, this is fake.
Pretty much, yeah. Everyone's email in the NFL is very easy to figure out if you want to email your favorite coach or player.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. I just wonder, like, if you're a billionaire and you're an owner, you just like, reach out to people you want to meet when you like them on Netflix?
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next time the NFL gets in your face about something, be like, you want me to call Tisch? I'll get Tisch on the phone right now.
I mean, would you do that, though? Maybe if you were old. Maybe it's like that comes with age that you would feel comfortable enough just being like, hey, I'm so powerful. Will you just come to eat with me? I don't know. That seems like a...
Yeah, he's just like, would he meet with me? Like, it was like a would he? Like, if I had been like, no, I'm too busy, he'd be like, all right, cool. But he's just like, would he want to hang out? It was awesome.
Huh.
I loved it. So now I've got a powerful ally.
There's no like sparks between you two or anything like that.
No. There was no. At one point he was like, I thought he might like ask about like, would you want to act in something or be in this? And he was like, I produced American History X. Would you ever consider playing like a skinhead, like a Nazi skinhead, like an intense skinhead? And I was like, would I be in the movie you made 20 years ago? Sure, Steve. Like that would be great. But other than that, we like didn't really talk business. It was just like chilling out and hanging out with a cool bud.
And that's not going to make me like the Giants or anything like that, but it's a good story.
The Giants are the best. Second best team in the league.
There's a there's an embarrassing video somewhere Erica sent to me of us dancing at this wedding too, which I know you would.
You and Erica dancing?
Really, yeah, it's really awesome.
I thought you were about to show it to me now. I was like,
I do not want to do it. I don't even know why I just brought that up.
If someone took a video of me dancing, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, that's what I was.
No, I have so many videos of you dancing. You were getting loose. And then at the after bar, you were like, I wish we were still dancing. I wish there was music. You remember that?
Did you say that?
Yeah, you did.
There was one night, like our senior year, we all went out as a senior class. And we went to this Pat O'Brien's, like a piano bar. And we're all just getting trashed. And Greg, we were all so drunk, but Greg was like standing in front of the piano players and just kept yelling for them to play Build Me Up Buttercup. And they're like, we'll get to it. And then they would play a song. And then Greg would be like, Build Me Up Buttercup. We were just like, when did you become so into the song? We'd never listened to it before in all of college. And it was just all you wanted them to play.
Yeah, from Dumb and Dumber, right? Among other things.
It's from a million things.
I mean, Something About Mary. Yeah, I don't know. That was embarrassing.
Let me ask you guys this, because I went to a wedding 2 weeks ago, and they were like, in the program, it was like, please do not post any pictures. Like, don't take any pictures during the ceremony. Don't take any video, and don't post anything to social media. Wow. Was there anything like that at this?
No, everyone was doing it during, after, and they loved that. They wanted that.
Yeah, they made it.
It was one of the most, I mean, we don't, their vows were the most emotional. I cry at almost any wedding. In this one, everyone was crying. It was the most emotional vows I've ever heard. He got over cancer. They were together before that. It was something else.
Was the power of the vows largely cancer related? Like,
no.
If he hadn't had cancer, would the vows have been as powerful? Do you know what I mean?
Like, not as powerful, because that was definitely part of it. You know, and them talking about it from the heart. I never heard anything like it. I'm still like mildly annoyed. I gave a speech, very short speech. But I'm still like mildly annoyed. It could have been like 10% better. It's like,
I mean, if the only thing you can improve is 10%, then you did great.
It was fine.
It was a good one.
Yeah, sounds like a blast, guys. Sounds like John Wick 3 up in that wedding. And
so
again,
are you gonna re-recommend it at length?
I got a different recommendation.
Then? Oh wow.
I got a different recommendation. But I don't need to recommend John Wick 3. It made $60 million this weekend. People are watching it. I don't recommend like insanely popular things.
Right.
You know,
like I was thinking after I wrapped up season 17, I believe, of Top Chef, of recommending that. But I figure they're good on their own.
You know, I watched a couple seasons like as it got going. And I was like, I was into it until one day I just realized I can't taste any of this shit. Like, you don't know how good anything is, that it just like became like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, but you can look
this?
At it. You can. It's a reality show where the contestants, instead of being like unlikable, like sort of like fame hungry, annoying people, are like badasses. Basically, cooks are badasses. I mean, I think that more because my wife was one too. But they're, you know, it's like it's a little bit of sports, a little bit of badass, a competition. What more do you need?
To taste it, to know. Like, I knew a guy who was a celebrity judge on Top Chef once for that, like, thing where it's like, you have an hour to cook something, like, whatever. And he's like, everything was awful. Like, everything,
Stop.
Every shit. Because they have an hour to cook, and it's like, you don't even know what ingredients you're getting. Like, everything was so bad. You had to, like, try to find something to say about someone to, like, have them be the winner. But you had to say something about every single person's thing, and everything was terrible. That I'm like, yeah, I bet it's awful. Why give them an hour? Why not be like, cook whatever you want, and then when you're done, we'll taste it. Top Chef is a sham.
No, I think you're thinking of some other show.
I'm not.
Chopped or some,
no.
Some knockoff.
Top Chef is a sham, and it should not be on the air. I think just what they do to people is dishonest and immoral. I could call Steve Tisch right now and have it taken off the air if I wanted to.
Do you think Steve Tisch would have written that email to your dad if he knew you were just going to read it out loud on the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project?
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
I think it was such a nice email. He would be thrilled that I would talk about him in such a nice way. Like I truly enjoyed my dad was like, would you have lunch with him again? Like was it that fun? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. He had great stories and was just a cool, like.
Did you like try to get like in any inside information? Like, is Eli Manning that boring? Like, why do you keep sticking with him?
He obviously loves Eli. I forget what he told me was like off the record, but I'm not going to say anything.
You shouldn't say it.
Because there were things that were like, I mean, he definitely loves Eli, but I'm not going to get into it.
Is he annoyed that he's like the Hollywood, you know, he has a foot in Hollywood with that Oscar, but it's the other side of the Giants ownership, the Maras, who have the really famous actress daughters. Any jealousy, any infighting there because of that?
I think they're related? That's them?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
I think because has one foot in Hollywood, he's glad his kids aren't actors.
Mm.
You know, I'm
Rooney Mara, Kate Mara, that's their grandfather. Yeah. Their father owns a team.
Wow.
We didn't talk about it, but he definitely loves owning the Giants. He's a great owner, a great man, and a powerful ally that I have gained. That I can get him to do whatever, you know what I mean? I think it's good to have someone like that in your corner. You know, like he's like you're me. Do you know
it's
what
like
I mean?
If you follow through on what you said last week, where I could be on the chopping block, Jesselnik Tisch Vanity Project,
JTRP. Anything else happened to you guys this past week besides the wedding?
That's it. That was it, baby.
That was it? Sounds...
I had my brother and my sister-in-law watching the kids.
Let me ask you this. You've been working for the NFL Network for how long, Craig? The NFL Network for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Have you ever had lunch one-on-one with an owner in the NFL?
No.
But I have.
I have.
When? Who?
Robert Kraft.
No, you did not.
No.
Good one, Erica.
Yeah, wait, that's it? That's the whole joke?
Erica pulled a prank, everybody. Erica pranked us. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? Is that polka?
Yeah.
What's the name of that song?
Polish Polka Full.
Polish polka is what do they call it when it's like you just say the same thing, redundant?
Yeah.
But as a Pittsburgh guy, I'm going to have to go ahead and give a thumbs up to the polka. We could play that all the time from now on if you wanted to. Did we get any notes? Kind of. We've been negotiating with the network about a season two on the network. We voiced our concerns and talked about what we wanted. What I wanted, and the offer that came in was such that the people that would work for me, my agents, my manager, people around, have recommended that we leave, that we take this podcast somewhere else. I'm not going to negotiate on the air, but I think it adds like a level of drama that that these might be the last seven episodes on Comedy Central Podcast Network, even though we were one of the inaugural podcasts. I think they might let us go. I don't think it's a disrespect of me or you, which would infuriate me. I think it's, don't think they respect podcasting in general or have it together, and didn't really listen to me. So maybe negotiations get a little better. I think we've put in another offer. We're going to talk about it, I think, in a couple of days with them. But I know what I want, and if I don't get that, exactly that, what I asked for, then we're going to shop it around. And see where we can go.
I feel like you're breaking news to me because the last I heard, it seemed fairly normal. You know, negotiations, you never start off exactly wanting the same thing, but it didn't seem like, did something happen in between?
Yeah, well, you're not on the, it's my people talking to me being like, the smart move is to leave. It's not like a vengeful move. It's just like, this is what they're saying. We think we can do better somewhere else, and we have options. We have great numbers, and anyone would kill to have us go there. That and again, we can record this anywhere we want. So I mean, listen, I got a comedy show, I got a TV show coming out on Comedy Central in September. I'm about to shoot starting next week. I'll be shooting that for the next couple of weeks. I'm in business with the network. There's no hard feelings, but I just I talked to them, and they didn't seem to really care. So maybe the podcast goes somewhere else. And, you know, we'd go as a team. Definitely, Erica, you'd be involved. Greg, probably. And we'll see. But maybe, the network comes back and we figure something out. But we got this phone call Thursday. And the phone call is not about, what's going on. It's like, what are we going to do? Here's what the plan is. There is an exit strategy that could be cut off. You know, they could come back to us and make me happy, but right now it looks like we're leaving. And I don't know. As of last week, I was like, no, we're gonna stay. We'll figure it out. They've come to the table, but I didn't like what they came to the table with. You know, I was hungry, and they didn't bring any food. You know,
I mean, I remember this plot line from the last time we were negotiating with Comedy Central, when it tended to depend on the day what you thought was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. One day you were out, the next day you were in. The next day you were opening turkey jerky on air so that everyone could hear the package open.
But you're making it sound as if like I was just like wishy-washy. It was like, no, they would do things to make me come in, and then they would like, oh, no, we can't do that. Like, I would be like, okay, I don't like the money. And they would be like, all right, here's the money. And I'd be like, okay, I don't like the standards and practices. They'd be like, okay, we'll take that away. So it was like going back and forth, and then we eventually got exactly what we wanted. And now I have some turkey jerky. And agents who are good at their job and can get us a better deal anywhere else. So that's the kind of mood I'm in. I'm not angry. I'm not, I don't feel disrespected. I just feel like I'm in boss mode. I'm Steve Tisch right now. You know what I mean? I'm Steve Tisch, and I'll do whatever I want. I should ask Tisch to Steve. Sorry. I should ask Steve if he wanted to bankroll the podcast.
Big T.
No.
Hit me.
He doesn't like that.
No?
No.
How about the fact you can tell him that like our last two episodes since your special Fire in the Maternity Ward have come out, biggest episodes we've had yet. So this thing is moving up.
Of course. And now that we got the levels fixed, finally, I think people are really going to stay on board with this.
I'm literally going to just leave.
We like to have fun. And that was Did We Get Any Notes? And now it's time to take it down to a happy place, a fun place, a satisfied place. It's time for Erica's Corner. Slow jam the polka.
Yeah, that's sort of like a carousel.
I've never heard a polka. That's like the polka you'd play at a Polish person's funeral.
Yeah.
Erica Tamposi is our producer. She also works for the NFL Network, but I like to think of her as just solely our employee. She's great. She's a fantastic person. Would do anything for her friends. And we like having her here. And we like to carve out a little bit of the podcast just for her and give her a chance to shine by doing whatever she wants. If she wants to ask us a question that she's pondering, she can do that. If she wants to read a viewer email, she can do that. And, you know, maybe she wants to play a game. Who knows with that crazy girl. So, Erica, shine on.
All right. Today I got another fan email. This is from Mark I. If you had one free punch at one person, living or dead, with no recriminations, who would you drop?
Hmm. So would you be punching a corpse? Or would you be, like, they'd come back to life so you could punch them and they would die again?
I think they're, in theory, coming back to life, but, you know.
What happens after you punch them? Do they go back?
Punch Hitler's corpse or something, you could do that.
Like, does Hitler come back, you punch him, and then he's like, okay, that hurt, but now I'm going to go back to killing people? Or does he, like, crumble to dust after you hit him? Like, you just get the satisfaction.
I think the question is saying, would you go back in time to punch them while they were alive, I guess.
Imagine time traveling just to punch someone in the face once and then peace out. I think that's funny. But I know what my answer was.
Well, I also think it says, like, or would you drop... It just assumes that we're going to drop them. I mean, I'm kind of assuming my punch will be... It'll be fun to try, but it might end up being underwhelming. You know
if you
what
surprise
I mean?
Cold cock someone, I think you could
they're
take
going
them.
Down?
Yeah. It's a surprise. Like, think about
Deontay Wilder style, just freaking knock that dude out.
That was an insane punch.
Come up from behind.
If you want, I'd come straight on. I'd be like, I'm about to punch you now. You can protect yourself.
It's not going
to
hurt as much if you hit him in the back.
No, you swing around the side. You like do a haymaker. You can get him in the jaw still.
Anyways, I would punch John Wetland because with the whole massage thing from last week, the former Major League Baseball pitcher, I don't want him to get the wrong idea. I'd punch that guy in the face. He deserves it.
John Wetland, you're going back to punish someone from last week's episode?
I am.
Of all the people in the world, living or dead, you would punch John Wetland.
He seems like a pretty big creep who deserves a punch.
Do you think your grandfather is listening to this podcast in heaven right now, upset that you didn't pick Hitler?
You know, what's a punch gonna do? You know, I mean, maybe it would be satisfying.
Do you think your grandfather's upset that you haven't been working out, like training to like punch someone as hard as you can in the face?
I'll do some push-ups
sometimes.
Just in case
you got to punch Hitler?
No lie. My grandfather did say he lived in Germany. You know, he left there in 1941. He was Jewish, and he remembers one time in the 30s where they had a parade go by his window and, you know, Hitler was in the parade and he always, you know, said, it's like, I could have shot Hitler right there, ended the world.
Do you think Nazi parades were kind of like Mardi Gras parades where, like, if you took your shirt off, they would throw you beads? Do you think if, like, you were like a Nazi chick back in the day, you could just like show some cleavage and they toss you something?
I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was specifically a Nazi parade or it was just some sort of governmental thing. He lived in Berlin and it went by. But no, I don't think in general, you know, the Germans, I don't know if they were as festive, you know, as New Orleanians. You know what I mean?
Not anymore.
I mean, they drink their beer, but...
Not anymore. Not after, you know, the beating they took. But I think before that, I think it was just like Mardi Gras. I think it was very similar. Erica, who would you punch?
I would punch the manager from the hotel that I stayed in for one night this weekend.
What was the name of the hotel?
Why? Oh, don't do that. That's not nice.
Why did you want to punch him?
Because when we checked into the room for the night, there was like rusty, almost like bloody pins in the toilet, and it looked like it was a massacre, but I thought it was something else, so I was like gagging. But then when after we looked at it, it was like needle pins. I showed you the picture, Greg, and you like threw up because you thought it was something else. And then when I called the front desk to have them do something about it, the guy at the front desk was like, oh yeah, you should probably just flush that because I wouldn't want you to have to look at it all night. Like, what? You don't want me to go to the bathroom, or can we switch rooms? Well, whatever. And then I was on the phone today with the manager, and she told me that if they had a chance to change something about it, they'd give me my money back. But because they didn't have a chance, I was like, well, what do you mean a chance? I called the front desk and you told me to freaking flush it. And she was like, well, I can refund you $20. And I spent $300. And I was like, well, why the $20? Mm. So today I'm just irritated. So yeah.
I mean, they know you'll never go back there, so they don't care. They won't give you your money. I'll tell you who I'd punch. I've given this a lot of thought over the past 5 minutes that since you asked the question. I punch Greg's dad. I punch Greg's dad right in the face.
Why is he suddenly in the mix?
Here's how I picture it. All right. Greg's dad wakes up in the morning. He goes out to get the paper. He's in his bathrobe still. He doesn't hear me coming. Right when he stands up with the paper, there's me. And I've been running. Like, I've been running for like 20 yards. And I just clock him right in the face. And then I go inside and have Debbie make me breakfast.
I mean, I'm a little worried because Tom has started listening to the podcast the last couple episodes. Like, I'm hoping he doesn't hear this one because I'm not sure how he would get the joke totally. He'd be like, what's the joke, Greg? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know, Dad.
Let me tell you something.
I don't know what the joke is.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Rosenthal. There is no joke. It's a fact. If I could punch anyone living or dead, I would punch you. And let's say, and that's going to be my answer for the rest of my life whenever anyone asks me. Mm. And if at some point in the next 20, 30 years, you're no longer with us, you'll still be my answer. I'll follow you beyond the grave.
Happy birthday, Dad, last week. You didn't get that call, but you got this.
You didn't call your dad on his birthday?
It was the first birthday ever that I did not. We texted, but yeah, it did. Said the day got away. And
do you want me to have Steve write him an email?
I mean, now I'll call my parents like on Mother's Day, and they don't even call back. You know, they're busy.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I talk to them plenty. So, you know, you get that old. He's getting up there. I don't know if he'd want me to reveal it. He's 1 year away from a big old extra decade here.
80. 79 years old. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, enjoy it while you can, Mr. Rosenthal.
Hence why they don't want to talk in birthdays. It's just sort of a reminder.
Of how susceptible they'll be to my punch. And listen, Debbie, you're safe. But Tom, you're the guy I would punch. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
All right, let's start our headlines this week with Magic Johnson, the former Lakers president, and you know, one of the worst Twitter users of all time. I don't know if you have been tracking his tweets. We can get to that in a minute.
No,
but he went on ESPN's First Take on Monday. He recently quit the Lakers out of nowhere, right at the end of their regular season. And he went on First Take ESPN and just started hammering the rest of the organization, especially Lakers general manager Rob Pelinka, calling him a backstabber, and then going through all the different kind of palace intrigue that is going on with the Lakers right now, all the different voices that are trying to get into Jeannie Buss's head, who's the owner right now, but especially blaming his own departure, Magic's, that is, on Rob Pelinka.
My favorite part of that interview was when they go, was anyone else backstabbing? And he goes, no, just Rob. Like, said it so matter-of-factly. Like, no, just Rob. Everyone else is cool. Just Rob. Rob's a bad guy. And the fact that he did it the morning before they introduced the new coach is hilarious.
Yeah, the morning of, yes.
Greg was wondering why I wanted to talk about this story. I think it's really funny to be at an organization for a long time, be kind of synonymous with that organization, and then leave it, and then talk wild trash on said organization. Even though you can still like walk around, like he can still go to any Lakers game he wants. You know what I mean? He can still like walk in the locker room if he wants to. He's Magic Johnson. That I think that's, I saw parallels to our situation. Like my showrunner on my TV show, Megan, she's an employee of mine on the TV show. She asked me the other day, she was like, Anthony, are you a rebel or a questioner. I was like, what does that mean? She was like, the people fall into like these four different categories. I think you're one or the other. Like, are you a rebel where you just rebel no matter what? Like, no matter if someone tells you what to do, no matter what it is, because they told you what to do, you're going to flip out. Or are you a questioner where you'll like listen to what they want you to do and question? If it doesn't make sense to you, then you're not going to play along. And I was like, oh, I'm a questioner for sure. And I'm questioning a lot of things with my employment situation. And I just think that I would take a page right out of Magic Johnson's playbook and dunk all over the organization I just left.
Did last time around, and now you're kind of even further along in your career. It'd be tricky though, because you'd have a show on the network at the same time, in theory, that this podcast would be going off the network. So would you really be dunking on them while you're working for them, or?
Yeah, I mean, I would dunk on them weekly on the podcast if I wanted to. You know, maybe I forget about it. I mean, the TV show is going to be great. I have no doubt about that. And I don't want to equate the two. But this side of things, you know, they're stabbing me in the back, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I see it.
What people get really caught up in, Magic was really caught up with this, that he was, you know, they were talking about him behind his back, that he like wasn't in the office that much, which he didn't deny. I mean, he's got a million other things to do. He was just kind of like, yeah, I wasn't. But what, you know, like Magic Johnson's front stabbing, you know, like why is front stabbing so much better than backstabbing? You know, he's just going straight after them and causing chaos for them, just like supposedly the backstabber was.
So you think a backstabbing in private is not as bad as a front stabbing publicly?
No, maybe they're close to equally bad, but you know, they're both bad. They're both stabbing.
Yeah, but one's Magic Johnson. If you backstab Magic Johnson, he can go in front of any TV camera anywhere in the world and start talking, which is what he did.
Right.
Magic Johnson on live TV is amazing. It's amazing. And if we took the podcast somewhere
else.
Not
when he was actually on TV, though. Like no. When he was doing basketball analysis.
Of course.
I mean, that was one of the funny things about when he stepped down was he said, you know, I just want the freedom. I want to, you know, start being able to tweet like I want to. I haven't been able to tweet because I have this job. And I don't know if you like tracked his tweets at all, but it's always the most Captain Obvious, like inane shit possible. Like his last tweet as we're taping this is, getting my skinny pop popcorn ready for Milwaukee versus Toronto. I think I'm going to go with sea salt and pepper.
Is that like a general, like that's what his tweets are?
No, that's just like the kind of thing. I really like the post game, maybe you don't care as much, but like the post game analysis that he does. He'll just be like, Steph Curry was playing like the old Steph Curry tonight.
Yeah, I don't care about this at all. I was trying to make a point equating myself with Magic Johnson and you're taking it away and going off in different tangents. That's not the point. The point is I'm the Magic Johnson of comedy. All right, in a lot of ways. Not just the AIDS, but
I was like, yeah, you look great despite
despite
your illness.
All my illnesses. You know, I'm a legend. I played with Kareem for a lot of years, and if I feel like I'm being backstabbed, I'm gonna go on TV or maybe another podcast and run it down.
It's like when you first came back from your illness and no one wanted to play in the All-Star game with you.
Exactly. The similarities are endless. But I played on the Dream Team. That's another one.
You've got your own chain of movie theaters.
Mm-hmm. And in largely black neighborhoods. I own a couple Fat Burgers. I do it all. I can do it all. I could play center if I needed to. And that's what I have to say about that. And now, Erica, it's time for
ad copy.
All right, Comedy Central, you know, they might have an open spot for podcasts. And with us potentially out the door, who knows? Your two dads with Sean and Julian could try to help fill the gap. Host Julian McCullough and Sean O'Connor are comedians and longtime friends who separately have become dads. In the podcast, they're going to talk about being a dad, they're going to talk to other moms, they're going to talk to friends, they're going to talk some kids' food, child TV, movies, whatever. Take some parenting questions. They're not experts, but they're funny. You know these guys, Anthony, right? Their kids are still alive. That counts for something. So if you want to be a dad or you are a dad like me, you can subscribe, you can listen, you can become a better person subscribe to Your Two Dads with Sean and Julian for Comedy Central's idea of a parenting podcast wherever you get podcasts.
And that was
ad copy.
Yeah, so see, Comedy Central's going to be okay if we leave. You know what I mean? They've got Your Two Dads. Two guys who became dads separately. I mean, who doesn't want to listen to that? I'm just mad it's not a TV show.
They've asked me to come be a guest early on in the going.
Did you say yes?
Yeah, I think we're working it out. It's gonna happen. My three dads
might be super awkward. Are you, Alan, you have nothing to do with that? No, they don't. Did they film that one? You don't know? They put it on YouTube. That's interesting. It's interesting. And that was ad copy. Echo, play us a song. Let's do another headline. That was a little rockin' polka. What's that called?
That's called Polka Duck.
I feel like the polka people love the ducks. There's a lot of duck stuff in polka. You sound pretty generic. Greg, what's our next headline?
Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys running back who has had his issues off the field over the year, was handcuffed at 3 a.m. in the parking lot of an EDM festival called the Electric Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas. He was appeared to be arguing with his girlfriend, and a security guard said something to him, and Zeke kind of backed him down, you know, and got in his face and then gave him a little forearm shiver, and the guy went flying into some gates there. But they're not going to press charges, not arrested. Nothing really happened in the end.
Yeah, the guy was like, oh, that's Zeke Elliott. You know what? We can settle this between ourselves.
Yes.
Meaning cash money exchanged hands. My favorite part of the story, and listen, Zeke didn't, he wasn't like fighting. He was arguing with his girlfriend. Never hit her. Was like blocking her path. Security was right to intervene. I don't know what they said to him. Maybe he was right to shove the guy to the ground. I feel like if you're Ezekiel Elliott, throw people to the ground. You know what I mean? I bet if he was like, I could punch anyone, he would hit that security guard. Anyone in the world?
It was just like a little forearm, but you know.
But he immediately knew that it was wrong. But my favorite quote from the article is this. He was cuffed as a precautionary measure. He was released with no charges. He left Vegas that night and went to his youth football camp in Dallas on Sunday. The fact that he took a break from his youth football camp to go to the Electric Daisy Carnival and beat up a security guard and then go back to his youth football camp in Dallas. Like, imagine what that was like on Sunday for all those kids to be like, hey, congratulations on not going to jail for assaulting a security guard. That's the NFL. You know what? If I got Tish on the phone right now, I wonder what he would say about this. I'm guarantee he wishes Ezekiel Elliott went to jail for this for 30 years as the owner of the Giants.
Yeah, you know, after I saw that detail, I did go look for any of the media coverage of the youth football camp, and there was some, but none of them seemed to mention the what happened the night before. He certainly, you know, did not address it with the campers or anything like that.
Do you think that he
gave them a message of, you know, no matter what your obstacles are, you got to work hard at whatever you're doing, whether it's doing the dishes or doing your running for football, you got to work hard.
What was he originally suspended for last year?
He was suspended for domestic violence.
Yeah. So if your partner's in front of you and you got to get through him, don't let that stand in your way. I think that, do you think Ezekiel Elliott really cares about kids, or you think he's doing this as a kind of a PR move? Like, if you get arrested for domestic violence or get suspended for domestic violence, do you have to then open up a youth camp?
No.
Teach kids?
A lot of players have these youth camps, and some are more invested than others in them. Some, they're like these really great camps. Some, it's like these one-day things where the players, I don't know what the arrangement is, but the players' involvement is, you know, relatively minimal. That said, you know, the kids freaking love it, so it's hard to kill them no matter what the motivation is. But it is a strange subculture, because Tyreek Hill had a youth camp scheduled for, I think, this month. And then just, you know, very quietly, it was announced that it was now going to be the Sammy Watkins youth camp instead of the Tyreek Hill youth camp. They just sort of took his name off of it and put a different Chiefs player on it, which I think was the right move.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I just think that I'm just glad to hear that Zeke Elliott is Zeke is really into this, you know, and not just doing it for PR. He's like really, his heart is in this. He's like a new, he's like the new Jerry Sandusky.
I like that Anthony, for the first time all season, wrote a note. And what? that note was Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, you were talking so long about Tyreek Hill that I was like, I'm going to forget what I'm going to say next. And so I wrote down Jerry Sandusky. I think about him every day. He's a friend too. We went to lunch once. Not as cool as Steve, but still.
Not the Ravens announcer, because the Ravens play-by-play guy is also, unfortunately, named Jerry Sandusky.
The Ravens play-by-play guy?
I don't know if you knew that.
He didn't throw an initial
it's
in there?
Jerry spelled differently, but otherwise, yeah.
You're sure it's not the same guy?
It's not the same guy.
What if Jerry Sandusky broke out of jail and took his place? Would people notice?
I mean, the Ravens, he kind of fits with the Ravens MO, I feel like.
I feel like, too. I feel like they're all I'm going to go ahead and say it, pedophiles.
Our final story comes from Brazil. Wow, what a story.
What a segue. What a segue I just rocked off the top of my head to get into this next one. Greg, break it down.
Multiple Brazilian news networks reported that a 15-year-old boy went to jail after he successfully catfished a pedophile on Tinder by posing as a 14-year-old girl, having this back and forth with this elderly man who was a pedophile, meeting the man at a park, and then beating the shit out of him while dressed as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Head to toe in spider gear. What I love about this story is that a 15-year-old posing as a 14-year-old, it's clear, and he saved all the texts and everything, like all the texts between them, and then kept it in the drive so that when they came to the park to arrest him for beating up an old man, he was like, no, look, read this. I don't think they even arrested the old man. They were just like, okay, like no one knows what happened to either Spider-Man or the old man. But it sounds to me like a 15-year-old kid just really wanted to beat up an old man. Just really wanted to beat up an old man. It was like, how can I get an old man to come meet me as posing as a 14-year-old girl and collect all this info so I don't get in trouble? And then I'm going to kick an old man's ass dressed up like my favorite comic book character.
Or he's trying to, you know, be a superhero. I mean, this is some superhero shit.
Listen, I've seen every Spider-Man movie. Jail. I know a lot about Spider-Man. He's never once catfished anyone to go beat them up, even though Spider-Man has beaten up several old men.
Well, some of the
Vulture is like an old guy in the comics.
So there's some of the details were a little different because he came there with two pocket knives, two retractable tanfas,
yeah,
which are those kind of billy club type things.
Yeah, like you like. Yeah. Like you, it's almost like you like do like a whip thing and then like a
it's
a, like
it's basically a martial longer. Arts billy club type of thing, and then some bladed brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Only like 15 and 14 year olds have bladed brass knuckles.
That's true. But imagine like you have those and you're just like, what am I doing with these? I got nothing to do with them. I can't hit a normal person, but I could beat up an elderly man with them. Let me try to find a pedophile. Like if you really just want to go kick someone's ass and you want to practice before I punch your dad. And like you can beat up any pedophile and no one would ever get mad. Like no one would ever be mad at you. So I think this is hilarious. And the fact that the cops were still like, wait, you did what?
Right.
Like,
he kept all the exchange between the two on his flash drive and he brought that with him. And then he called the police himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, he wanted this to become a big time story. Or maybe he saw like a future where there's like the opposite of jail. Where if you do something badass...
Freedom?
No. Where you do something badass, like fucking break out some brass knuckles against pedophiles, then they put you in like a really nice place where they take care of your food, and it's like basically like a nice hotel.
Like a hospital?
Yeah, like a nice hotel where they take care of your food and like... Okay, you're sentenced to that for 2 years because you were such a badass.
Then why dress up like Spider-Man? Clearly, he like really wanted to dress up like Spider-Man and use weapons on an old man, and found a way to do it. That I applaud this 15-year-old boy.
If you were the old man, are you going to be
Spider-Man?
More...
If I were the actor who plays Spider-Man now, I forget his name. Do you know what I'm talking about? Tom Holland.
Yes.
If I were Tom Holland, I'd be shaking in my boots, thinking about this 15-year-old kid who could replace me at any time with brass. Imagine how badass Spider-Man would be with brass knuckles with razors on them. and who solely beat up old men pedophiles. I would watch that movie. That would be like John Wick 4.
You tell me you like you send this little kid Spider-Man after Zeke Elliott. He's not going to be in the news anymore. He's going to be scared straight.
Zeke?
Yeah. I'm saying like you can have this guy take care of different crimes.
What's Zeke's not going to do anything to this kid.
I'm saying
it's a 15-year-old boy. It's not Zeke's girlfriend. I feel like we heard that one already, and now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, what do you got this week?
This week.
What tomb did you read?
Well, how do you know it was going to be? I know. I've been trying to watch movies and TV shows for something to recommend, and I'm just not loving them. Not loving them. But I do love this book, Severance, by Ling Ma. So it is his book. Wow, this book. It's hard to describe. Is it a satirical office novel? Yes. Is it a zombie apocalypse book? Yes. Is it kind of like an first wave immigrant story? Yes. Is it like more than anything, probably like a millennial living in New York City in this terrible time of capitalism story? Yes. It's all that. It sort of combines them all and it works. And usually I like recommend shit that, and some of the books are, they're kind of for me that I think they're great books. I don't know if everyone's going to like them. I feel like people would are going to like this book. It is a page turner that is funny and is a zombie book and is a lot's going on in it.
I just like the way you presented it, that you asked you asked a series of rhetorical questions where the answer was always yes. You could have just been like, it's about zombies and immigration and all those things. Severance by who?
Ling Ma out last year, won a ton of different like first book type of awards. I think you would like it.
I'm gonna write that down.
Set
on the piece
in New York
of paper
in 2011.
Throw away right after the show.
No, you're gonna love it.
I believe I would. I mean, it sounds like right up my alley. I haven't read a zombie book in a while, but I enjoy reading about zombies. I told you about how I used to have zombie nightmares, and I loved them because you'd wake up in the morning and you'd be like terrified, but then you'd realize there are no zombies, and you have a great day every day.
Yeah, go ahead.
There were like months where I had zombie dreams every night, and I would try to keep it going by reading zombie books and seeing zombie movies, and then one day they just stopped and they've never come back.
That reminds me, I forgot that Zeke Elliott, I keep bringing him back up, got a tattoo this off season of himself, like a huge picture of himself on his thigh, except he has zombie dead eyes.
You're kidding.
That's not a guy that you can trust.
Because there was that guy, the guy after he backed Jerry Jones, there was a guy who like did the mural of Zeke Elliott in the sunken place, like from Get Out.
That was Dak Prescott.
That was Dak. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I'm mixing up my, was it? I thought it was Ezekiel Elliott.
No, because I've never looked at Dak Prescott the same, but this, I will show it to you. You know, it's just like, it's a horrifying thing to put on yourself.
I don't know. I'm into it. I think it's cool. Erica, you want to recommend something?
I want to get tattoos. We got to bring those JRVP tattoos back, that idea, by the way. I'm in on it.
We'll see. We'll see if the network will pay for them, as I've asked them to several times.
Yeah, this app on my phone.
Christ.
A lot of people like apps, and it's called C2 5K, and it's short for Couch to 5K, and it's just a running app. And so you do it and it goes interval running. So it's like a minute and a half to a minute walking, and it stops your music to tell you when to start and stop running. And you only have to do it like 3 times a week, and it gets you up from essentially like a couch potato to a 5K. And for people that are just starting out to go running outside or on a treadmill or anything, I really enjoy the app and it's really cool.
So you put on running clothes and then run just to run for like a minute and a half?
No, it's for like a half hour. So it's like a minute running, a minute and a half walking, a minute running, and then it goes up to like 2 minutes versus 1 minute walking, so that it switches up your muscle memory, and over time it gets you to run essentially a 5K by the end of the month. And I really like it.
That's great, Erica.
And anything that gets you, you know, active and moving around, I think is positive, Erica.
Thanks, Greg.
Especially you.
No more apps. No more recommending apps.
Anybody. We have a lot of millennial listeners. A lot of people are interested. It's a free app. I mean, maybe if you I'm not even gonna say it.
I'm recommending
another option if you want to do something like that, but you don't have the app stopwatch. You know, you could press like the button every time you, every minute and a half or whatever.
Run until you get tired, then walk a little bit, and then run again.
Yeah, you could probably do that.
Well, before they came up with the apps, no one ever ran. No one could do a 5K. They didn't know how. They didn't know how to build up the strength.
Where have to carry your phone while you're running though? Why am I still to ask talk about this?
I do want to know.
Listen to your music through your Apple Watch, through iPod? How do you just run like a psychopath with no music?
Now I've got a thing that goes wirelessly from like my watch, but yeah.
When I run, I don't listen to music, but I put earplugs in.
I can't hear
anything around me, and I'm not aware of my surroundings at all. Oh, but nice. It looks like I'm listening.
I was still until that though. I had an old iPod.
Right. I put my phone. Doing
this.
I have
this
the
is not interesting
couch.
No, you're right. Can we cut out Erica's recommendation?
I think we should. Honestly.
Maybe if you guys ran and listened to music instead of reading your dumbass book, you'd be a lot happier.
I've literally run a marathon. I've run like 10 half marathons. I run all the time. So this is the wrong tree.
Please, guys, stop! Don't touch the.
I want you to take out this whole part put a little thing in that was like, you know, we removed Erica's recommendation. That's how bad it was. That will spark people's interest.
Everybody is going to tweet at you guys about how cool this app is. It's a free app. Download it. Have some fun.
I'm recommending. It's a new Netflix show. It's been out for a few weeks. It was like the comedy special they released a few, like 2 weeks before mine came out last month. It's called I Think You Should Leave. With Tim Robinson.
Yes.
My friends have been talking about it. I'd seen on Twitter. People were like, oh, you've got to watch this. I watched them all on Friday night. I went out to dinner with a friend. We went back and watched all six of them. Just bonkers hilarious. And every sketch is like just a couple minutes long. Every episode is 16 minutes long. So if you don't like something, it's gone. If you love something, you can go back and rewatch it. And I've been laughing my face off. Just like the other night I tried to go to bed. And I just remembered something he said and just started dying. Like it is definitely worth checking out. It's the third funniest thing on Netflix. I forgot about Thoughts and Prayers. But definitely check out I Think You Should Leave. With Tim Robinson. It gets the Jeselnik approval. And you know what? Steve Tisch is a big fan. Steve Tisch really enjoyed I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. That's what we talked about for half the time.
I watched the first three on my way back from Georgia. And I was going to recommend it this week, but I just wanted to watch all six before I did. It is so, good. So goddamn funny.
What's your favorite so far?
Whew. I'm trying to think. Well, there was one where they were playing charades. Mm-hmm. And...
That's funny. With Tim Heidecker?
That was a good one with Tim Heidecker. The one with Will Forte was really where he was on the airplane was a really funny skit. The Vanessa Bayer one, which got passed around on Twitter, that was an amazing skit.
I'm all about the baby pageant. I mean, I loved so many of them, but the baby pageant had me just.
See, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's in the second episode. You've seen it. You have a favorite?
No.
Nope. Great. I'm glad you didn't talk about an app. And now, Erica, make up for that app talk with our sign off.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.